Kathy. We are beginning our third full day of session. And so tomorrow we'll be halfway through. That reveals a little something about me, but anyway. today is very different than yesterday. It started off very softly today. It started off softly this morning, but not as softly. And now, this is what the day is. And this, then there'll be this afternoon, and that will be different. And each moment will be expressed by the day in its own way. So we've left our regular lives to come here in the humid Hudson Valley, forsaking our comfortable beds, air conditioning, and all the things that we've labored so long and hard to put together to make sure that everything we need to protect our image is in place. And so that we will be freed from that nagging anxiety that maybe that's not what we really are. We arrive here, we put on dark clothing, we sit too close together. What in the world makes us come here? Why would we waste good time and money? And some of us to come from faraway places to be here. It's sort of like a family gathering or a party. Some of the people we know, some of the people we sort of recognize, we don't really know them very well. And we're being asked to sort of trust to put ourselves out there, and why would we do that? And yet, maybe precisely because it isn't the same old, maybe that's why we're here. Maybe it's a chance to look at ourselves and the way we manifest like we're in a bell jar or under a microscope. Perhaps it's the help with the other people around us and the tasks that we're asked to do and the teachers that we'll learn something about ourselves. Maybe it'll be the parts of ourselves that we rather would keep hidden, that we'd rather not let ourselves or anybody else see. But here we are, as Tokyu movingly put it yesterday, that we are here supported by and carried by others. Supported, carried, and seen, maybe in a way that we don't normally get. So what is being seen? What in us is being responded to? So the text for the Ango is based on a fascicle by Dogen. And he starts by saying that all Buddhas and ancestors are expressions, and that when Buddhas and ancestors are being selected, they are asked, what is your expression? Or as Roshi translated the question as, show me what you got. No hiding from that, folks. So I guess the question is, which part of you is the authentic you. Dogen says that the question is asked with the mind and the body and with everyday things around us. Ikai talked about in our work practice, the doorknob, the tomato. So the question is answered by all these things, and while we're here, by the butterflies, the cicadas, the moths, and the trees. Is our authentic expression what we would like to project? Or is it what comes without our permission? So part of that seeing, when we look at ourselves, when we're left to our own devices, we're often left with our stories. The stories that we tell about ourselves that seem so terribly real, that we believe in so very firmly, the problem is, when we're telling our stories, nothing gets in. And nothing really, truly gets out. We're not perfect. But while we are here, maybe we could sort of try to let the soft light of dawn into those parts, all those parts. Roshi suggested that we drop our stories and drop our habits, which of course include, to a very large extent, our thinking, our habitual ways of thinking. So if we're anxious, is that our authentic expression? If we are angry, what is that expression? Don't we need to look what's under that? Don't we need to turn the rock over finally and say, okay, there's something more here. So if we are going to express ourselves authentically, Dogen said it's not by following other people. It's not by us willing it or thinking it. In part, I think, we need to give ourselves a chance to try to look under the hood, to see what's really there, to shine our little flashlights on what's there. And if there's something there that looks broken, don't try to fix it. We might need it. It came there. We earned that. It's part of who we are. Dogen says the grip of practice accumulates in months and years, and lets go of practice for months and years. When it is about to drop away, the skin, the flesh, bones, and marrow also affirm the dropping away. The nation, land, mountains, and rivers together drop away. So there's a wonderful sense of unity and harmony, like the birds in the morning. They're responding to the light coming up. They start, one, two. They all sing together. They are all celebrating another day. Unfortunately, we're not that sensitive to our environment, but maybe we could start to train ourselves to be more sensitive to what's going on around us. The fact that we are seen by others can be very scary. And Dogen talks about the dropping away. But try to test the waters. Put your big toe, little toe, whatever, in and see if you can't put the next toe in. Try not to hide. Try to allow the fact that we are here with a lot of people who are supporting us and who are trying to do the very same thing. It's almost like being a mother to yourself. So you look at the baby with joy and with wonder and amazement. And the baby cries. And so you pay attention to the baby and you tend to the baby. You don't throw the baby away. So it seems to me that in trying to get to this authentic expression, it requires both investigation and acceptance. So you say, okay, so now I'm going to express myself authentically. But unfortunately, it's not a performance. In order to express yourself authentically, I believe you just have to be. Not so easy to do. I want to tell you a story about something that happened in Starbucks recently. A little boy came in with his father. And I was sitting in the windowsill, a wide windowsill, and the little boy came and sat down next to me. And it was sort of remarkable because he was alone, apparently. And he kind of curled up and looked at the grain of the wood and examined the grain of the wood. And then he took the cord from the blinds and looked at the knot in the cord. And his father came and he didn't say anything. His father didn't say, sit up, that's full of germs. They didn't talk. The father had coffee, he sat down and he drank his coffee. The child didn't get anything. I don't remember when I last saw that. The father and child didn't speak to each other. Now, as parents in America, we tend to think that we have to teach our children all the time. Every moment is a teachable moment. But that didn't happen. The father sat there reading a book, drinking his coffee. The child got up, looked around, I thought there might be something wrong with the child, but he apparently was fine. And then they got up when the father was finished, and they walked out of Starbucks. So can we give that to ourselves? Can we just be there? Can we not try to teach ourselves, discipline ourselves, whatever your thing is that we do? Can we not do it? Can we try not to do it together? I'd like to end with a poem by the Chinese poet, 18th century Chinese poet, Yuan Mei. On the road to Tian Tia, and I may not be saying that correctly, but I said it. Wrapped by 10,000 mountains, cut off, no place to go. Until you're here, there's no place to get here. Once you are here, there's no way to go. Thank you.